And now it's time for Fabulous Film and Friends. It's a Guys Guys episode this week on Fabulous Film and Friends, where we tackle the 1987 Arnold Schwarzenegger, John McTiernan sci-fi action staple, Predator. Joining me in this online man cave is none other than the CrossFit Crown Filler, Salt Lake City's own David Johnson, DMD. And in the bottom square, weighing in a lean, donut, pie, and booze-free 200 pounds, the undisputed champion of snarling vitriol against moral evil, as well as chatty kids and their indulgent parents in the church pews behind him, Gordon Alex Robertson. Hit us with your best Arnie imitation, Alex. Say something pithy and action movie-ish in your best McBain voice.
Get to the chopper! Stick around.
It's got it all.
Before we tear into this movie, the synopsis. Alan Dutch Schaefer is leader of an elite special ops rescue team hired by a government agent and former colleague named Dylan for the simple extraction of an unnamed cabinet minister whose helicopter has crashed behind enemy lines in Central America. Double-crossed by Dylan and thinking they are tracking a gang of guerrillas, Dutch and his men find the crashed helicopter with mysteriously dead and skinned American Green Berets. After laying waste to all the guerrillas in the extraction zone and coming up empty-handed on the hostage front, save one beautiful and frightened woman, Dutch and his team find themselves being hunted by a seemingly invisible alien whose purpose on Earth is to hunt the creme de la creme of earthly specimens, skin them alive, and keep their skulls as trophies. One by one, the elite squad is picked off by the alien creature, but in Dutch Schaefer, the Predator has met his match. All right, let's, Dave, this was your call. What is Predator about? What's the deeper meaning?
I kind of put that on the shelf. I thought we were just talking about guns.
No, just because Roseanne's not here doesn't mean we're not going to go for the...
I thought we were off the hook.
No. Not a chance. This is the Thinking Man's podcast.
I think the Predator is kind of what I got out of it. The Predator is kind of like humans that just hunt for sport, you know, other species on, you know, safaris, whatever. That's kind of what I got out of that was, you know,
come on, dig deeper, Dentist Dave. You know it's not, these aliens don't exist. What are we saying about the state of mankind with the movie Predator?
The state of mankind. We're all a bunch of animals.
All right, Alex, what do you got?
What do I got? I think it's, we can't rely completely on our might and our technology, which is something that Arnold and the gang learn very quickly in the second half of the movie. In fact, when it comes time for the big showdown, what does Arnie rely on?
His wits
and nature. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. In fact, here they are coming into the jungle at the beginning with their might and their technology, and they make it look good. Suddenly, they're up against somebody who's got an even bigger weapon. He's got better technology. He's got better, you know, might. And now they are the hunted. And it's you know, it's an old story, really. You read Shakespeare, and it's always about when things go wrong in the city, we retreat to the woods, and we learn the old ways, and we become better people, and we come back even stronger. And Arnold has to retreat to the old ways and become strong.
I think on a meta level, it's the movie's about Arnold Schwarzenegger and his Hollywood output at that point. Who could beat Arnold Schwarzenegger but an alien? So it's like we had to see somebody who could kick Arnold Schwarzenegger's ass, and because he was so big and... I mean, you look at him in this film, and he is so freaking buff. He's almost cartoonish. Like, you look at him going... Well,
but interestingly enough, he's not big like he was, say, in the Conan movies.
Right.
He looks
but
great.
But still, when it's arm-in-arm with Carl Weathers, And Carl Weathers was no slouch.
No,
and
well,
he was,
he's, you got Arnold. He's a son of a bitch. Yeah. I mean, he's, anyway. Yeah. I guess I must have missed that, Alex. I was... When I saw him sharpening the sticks, I just kind of thought of what was it, Rocky IV, when he's moving logs and
pretty much, and it's the same idea.
Just thought, anyway, but you're right, didn't see that. So
But what I like out of this movie, what I did take, and especially this time around, and I think why it holds up so well, is, you know, all that machismo. And like you said, if it's about Arnold, nothing can beat him. Well, now he's met his match and we see the vulnerable Arnold.
Right.
In fact, that last shot of Arnold in the helicopter, he's not the victorious cigar chomping, you know, Austrian oak.
Yeah.
He's a man that barely made it out with his, you know, with his life.
Right. No, it's too bad Roseanne couldn't be here because she kind of hates this film. once upon a time, she had a boyfriend who stayed with us when we were in San Francisco, and we were watching it, and her boyfriend at that time was just staring at it like a kid stares at Teletubbies. I mean, it meant so much to him. Who knows why, but at that time, with Roseanne's scowling face or whatever, it just seemed kind of like, yeah, this movie's pointless. And it is just melodrama, you know? I mean, like, that's why I didn't even want to go into Die Hard, because Die Hard basically is melodrama. There's nothing on its surface. There's nothing deeper than, I love my wife. You know what I mean?
There's not
a whole lot to be gleaned from this movie. But today I watched it and I'm like, this is really a good movie. Do you guys remember the poster, or not the poster, but in the ad campaign when they put the blurbs up, it said, Roger Ebert, a cross between Aliens and Rambo, Roger Ebert. And of course, Roger Ebert wasn't saying it was good. He just said it's a cross, which is what it is.
It is.
You know, and it's like, well, that's not fair. I mean, they always take critics out of context. But in that case, it's like, yeah, no, that was the concept. And apparently, I was just reading on Wikipedia, and Jim and John Thomas, they were actually basing it on a Stallone interview where he thought that the next... after Rocky IV, who else is he going to fight but an alien?
Who's he going to fight but an alien?
So they were like, hey, that'd be a good movie.
You know, it works.
Yeah, it's entertaining. I've watched it several times. And when you ask that first question, what's it about, the deeper meaning? I'm like, you know, it's just kicking ass and shooting guns. I still like it. I mean, I don't know if it's in my top 10, but I still really enjoy the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, when we had the choice and I threw a couple names out there because it was a guy's podcast, it's a guy's movie. And, but no, I still really enjoy it. I like the characters in it. Even though they had small parts, they all added to the story.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I still like it.
Yeah. Alex, I guess you agree.
I still like it too. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those, I remember seeing it for the first time, and it was really one of those, like, what do you want to do tonight? It was a new Arnold movie. I mean, this was in, what, June of 87, so it was a pleasant surprise. But over time, I think it's really held up. Mm-hmm. And watching it again last night, it reminded me of what a nice, lean, muscular little story. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of flab on it. They get right to the point. And the thing the problem I guess I have with a lot of today's action movies, they're convoluted, they're noisy. I mean, this, you could say this movie's noisy, but it's like, but everything, everything just happens the way it's supposed to happen. And it, you know, like at the beginning, you know, it is first half action movie when they take out that village and they do it in such dramatic fashion.
Let me just jump in real quick on that. You know who staged all that?
Who?
The team that did the A-Team.
Okay.
Really?
It does feel like the A-Team. Yeah.
It had that feel, but for some reason, it was somewhat restrained. It was like, you know, it's
no, they're
not...
people burnt getting... Well, the difference is like, they fire. Oh, we finally get to kill people.
they die. People die in this movie dramatically. There are no quiet little deaths. There are no death speeches.
The cool thing is there's no CGI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what's cool about it.
The other thing.
Yeah. It's real. I mean,
well, it's also,
in a old school movie sense.
It's also the lack of a backstory, which I kind of like, because I'm tired of, you know, these origin stories the reason why the Predator's that way is his father never held him as a child, you know, so he's angry at the universe.
Right now there's a hack writer going, ooh, ooh, the Predator's dad.
And how often do we see that story? Right. Oh, he wants to sleep with his mother and his dad's in the way.
How many MacGyverish building scenes did you count in the film, gents?
Oh, my Lord. When you say MacGyverish, are you talking about... Oh!
All those laying down cables. And there was, yeah. I counted three.
There, yeah.
Dun, yeah. Dun, 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 dun. Speaking of the A-Team.
Yeah.
That's an 80s staple is a building scene.
Yeah. Now the one thing that bothered me is when the first time when Shane Black is taken out, or no, when Jesse Ventura is taken out and Bill Duke freaks out and grabs the minigun.
Yeah.
And then they all just start emptying their clips into the jungle. It's like, is this like Batman's utility belt? Just this never-ending supply of ammunition? Yeah. And they still had ammo after. They still had things to build their...
Yeah, they did. You
know, until the very end when Arnold's got nothing except a couple of explosive devices.
Right, he's got two grenades.
True grenades, yeah. But it's like, wow.
And a lot of time to build those traps.
Yeah.
Like, those are some pretty elaborate traps he built.
Well, he was a Boy Scout.
That's, yes.
Because, you know, that's what
you
Dylan said.
You think this Boy Scout bullshit is going to work? I was never a Boy Scout. I was waiting for the line, but he just, I don't know, Arnold's line isn't clever enough there. It was a little weak.
No.
I was never a Boy Scout.
It still holds up. I mean, it's amazing how it looks, it still looks great.
Yeah. No, it's a good-looking film. It really is. It's well shot. It's, as you say, it has a clean unity of action. There's no, like, well, how did that happen or when did that happen? I mean, yeah, it plays with time for sure when he's hoisting that giant log. Like, don't you think the Predator would have got you then? You know, I mean, there's definitely stretches and logic.
But he was covered in mud, so the Predator wouldn't.
Right.
How does that log lift itself?
That's, I have to say, I'm always flirting with the idea, is that the stupidest weakness ever?
Yeah.
Like, he can fly a ship, he can't see on the planet that he's invading.
Not with his infrared vision.
Which mud, by the way, would not block
no,
that.
Right.
Yeah. No, right. So, I guess it's, you know,
I mean,
what
it's one thing
do?
If he was lying there comatose, maybe the mud would work, but he'd still have a heat signature.
Some kind of heat signature. Yeah. I don't know.
No, it's just funny. But okay. Are there faults in logic? Yes. But overall, it doesn't have that sort of, well, when did that happen? It feels very linear, like it all makes sense, you know, and that's, so again, I have been preaching this for a while. Simple plots are the best.
Yeah.
They're just the best. Just keep it simple, stupid. Just simple story.
Which they,
well
again.
Done. Invested in characters who, actors and a director who are taking it all seriously. You know, there's that really good shot I noticed this time where Shane Black has been killed and the just the tilt up the tree and it keeps going up and up and up till you see it. And the suspense is like, it's still an interesting... Like, even though I've seen the movie a million times at this point, it's like, well, that, what's going to happen here again? Oh, right. Just that reveal of what they just missed, you know?
How much of that do you think is John McTiernan? I mean, he really does knock this one out of the park.
Yeah.
Well, I think this is before anybody really knew who John McTiernan was. I could see how this led to...
What did he do before this? Do you know?
Oh, I can't remember. You'd have to look it up on IMDb.
He did some Charlie Sheen movie, right?
I think so. You'd have to look.
I think he. Hold on. Let's.
Before he did time. Yeah.
Yeah. No, and that's just silly that he's not working. Because there's so many directors who are working. Who are terrible.
Nomads. Yeah. Nomads with Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, Pierce.
Yeah,
Brosnan.
I remember hearing about. Never saw it. I mean, it was one of those that I think caught some people's attention, but obviously it got Joel Silver's attention if he didn't produce that one. But this and interesting, this movie really has Joel Silver's handprint on it.
Yeah,
And one of his better efforts. I mean, I really did.
Well, I still hate Commando. I think Commando is just ridiculous.
Well, yes,
but that was one of his hits. You know, I mean, and that's why when I saw it on video. I didn't see it in the theaters because I just couldn't stand most of Arnold. I saw The Running Man in theaters. Dave, did we see The Running Man together? Was that one?
I think we did.
Yeah, yeah. That was. I just hated it. You know, it's just obnoxious and stupid. And just, I mean, I know why people like it. It's just such a cheese fest. But
it's a hard one to sit. You know, it's just the amusing whether they were it was intended to be funny. It just
when you're in the thick of it as a teenager, you just want a good movie. And I couldn't appreciate The Running Man for its camp value. I just hated it.
No.
So Predator, I just avoided because it looked like a cross between Aliens and Rambo.
I think that's how this movie succeeded, though.
Well, again, but most straight-to-video movies are a cross between Aliens and Rambo.
Oh, well, okay.
I think the difference is, and what sets it apart from any B-movie... No, what sets it apart from any B-movie is John McTiernan and the cast do invest in that film.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly. And I think a big part of it, too, is, you know, at least half the cast, I know, had military experience. In fact, Richard, I don't know if he pronounces it Shaves or Chavez, who played mm-hmm. Pancho, that guy did 3 years in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a military brat. I mean, his father was in the military. He said his youth was spent between military school and the nuns. But I remember he and I think half a dozen other vets got together in the mid to late 80s and put together this play, this ensemble piece called Tracers. And I had a copy of that. I remember I used to always think, oh, I want to do this, you know, because you'd salivate. But it was really one of the first plays to deal with the Vietnam experience told from Vietnam vets. Uh-huh. And Richard Shaves or Chavez was one of those guys. That's why when I recognized his name, I said, hey, that's the guy from Tracers.
Wow.
You know, how cool is that? And, you know, you really do. And he does look like a soldier. He's not big, but he's got that wiry, lean look about him. And he just, you know, the way he handles weapons and runs through the jungle, it's like, you know, they're that's just not good acting. That's a guy that's been through it.
Yeah.
So that he wasn't like Arnold holding that M16 with one arm flexing his bicep.
Well, let's get into the. I mean, obviously we like the film. Let's get into the components of it. So first, Dave, I'll give it to you. Do you notice anything unique about the direction from John McTiernan? Soon to do one film away from Die Hard, his magnum opus.
Direction in what way?
Like, well, did you pick up, like, could you notice, I mean, I know it's not fair to sort of, oh, do you notice what we notice? It'd be like us at a dental office and you talk about, do you notice these crowns, you know? But notice, do you notice when a film is well directed or not?
I mean, I'd like to think
like,
so.
Like, let's say Die Hard. Die Hard, I remember as an 18-year-old, I could say this is really directed well. Because why? Because you buy it. That's the first... Yeah. That's the first sign of a good direction. A good director.
I think
you buy
for
the story.
This one, I think this is my opinion. I think that it's directed better than Die Hard. I don't know, overall. with all the cast.
Huh.
I mean, I think it.
What way? I think Die Hard's a much more complicated film. So that's,
well, I think it's more complicated, but I just think the interactions and how each actor character played their part to the fullest, like Alex said, they were fully invested. It kind of added to, for me, like the believability of it.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
Yeah, but,
yeah.
It's a simpler film than Die Hard, though. So I mean,
yeah.
I think
absolutely. You know. I don't say I like this better than Die Hard. I don't know, but I'm just saying how he directed.
Die Hard's sort of falling out of favor with me. I'm like not interested in Die Hard.
And I need to watch Die Hard again, but. I really liked it. I liked all the characters. I liked the interaction. It was believable that they were a group and they were on a mission. And
I would say that Arnold's sort of big cartoonish presence, like imagine this movie with Sylvester Stallone, or I think a big component. It's almost like, again, I'll bring up my favorite show, Star Trek. But to me, the components work on Star Trek because of William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy, and I think the same goes for Predator. It works because of Arnold.
Yeah, I don't think it would be the same with Stallone.
Yeah, I think somebody else, it's like the Indiana Jones with Tom Selleck. I just think that would have been like a $30 million, everybody forgot about it.
Yeah.
Because Tom Selleck is not Harrison Ford. Some actors make a movie work, and I think that's why that all the other Predator movies aren't very interesting, because they don't have Arnold in it.
Yeah, good point.
Danny Glover, it's like, come on. I mean, Danny Glover is a good actor, and he was, especially at that time, but he's not Arnold, and it doesn't hold a candle to the first movie.
Well, and these actors that are in this, the supporting cast, aren't like your Danny big names when, you know, Danny Glover was big, right? You had Arnold, and then you had I mean, you had Carl Weathers, but the rest were kind of not as well known. Sure. But I think they all stepped up, and I think it was directed great. I think it was a great story. It was told well, and the shots were great. And I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Alex, what did you notice about the direction that makes it better than the usual crap?
Economy of motion. And everything happens, I think, as it should. I mean, the way, you know, I think John McTiernan got a little bit fancier with Die Hard, but things just don't happen without there being consequence. Mm-hmm. Although this one is a much simpler story.
Yeah.
And I just think that he had a really good eye for pacing it. And one of the things that I noticed, especially this time around, and you brought it up earlier, is there really is good tension that builds up. There's the first half of the movie when, after discovering the bodies, you know, and how it's personal now. I knew that, man. They were good friends. No soldiers would die like this. Mm-hmm. You know, and the buildup to the village. And there really is a good buildup to it, so that when you finally have the catharsis of the first explosion, it's just like game on.
Right.
You know, and it's, you know, and here's the thing, you know, you have this big climactic fight coming in like the first act or at the end of the first act. Where do you go from there? Well, now it turns into, and I think credit to John McTiernan. Now he without slowing down the pace, you know, because it becomes a whole other movie now. He keeps it going, and there's still that great tension. There's still that great buildup.
Let me ask you something. Do you think, and I've always debated this, do you think Sonny Landham dying with off screen is a cheat or is it help?
I don't know. I don't
always feel like we
should
have. Don't you feel like we should have seen him?
We should have seen
him tear off his ear or something. He should have done something.
Something, exactly. You know, it does feel like, wow. You know, because he's got that,
like,
sixth sense about him, right?
He's
ripping, you know,
he's slicing his chest, like, oh, slicing his chest. This is gonna be a fight. Oh man, he dies.
You know, and as they say, it's just like, I don't know. It's Billy. He just seems unhinged. It's some. He's been acting squirrely.
Yeah.
You know, and he's got those great little moments about something about. He's got that line about, we're all gonna die someday. We're all gonna die. You know,
or the line where he says, what's bothering you? I'm scared. He goes, nothing scared. You know, I don't remember which character.
Or no man scares you or something.
Nothing scares you. Anyway, yeah, he was a great. I didn't mind that he died off screen.
I don't know, though. But like Gino said, there's this, you know, sometimes you feel cheated when you have this buildup for a particular character. And then, you know, it's like, okay, I mean, this is a different kind of thing. But I always think about the death of... If you can call it that, the death of Boba Fett in Return of the Jedi. It's like this great, fearsome, you know, bounty hunter. He dies in the most idiotic ways. It's like you feel cheated. And it's like, you kind of build this up with Sonny Landham, and then we don't see him die. Couldn't we have at least seen some noble...
I'd go so far as Bill Duke, you know, because Bill Duke, you've spent a lot of time with. So for him to just die so quick, I mean, it's... There's also sort of surprising element, which I can understand why John McTiernan would do that, but it does feel like, he didn't get anything. He didn't even tear a piece off of him.
Right. There has to be something.
Yeah.
You know, so the movie is not perfect, of course, but yeah, it would have been nice to see. I mean, I guess to Bill Duke's credit, he does wing the...
Yeah,
Predator in the beginning when they discover that...
But not in a very professional sort of, oh, these guys... You got, you know, not to the point where it punctuates how big a trophy Bill Duke's big head will be when the Predator kills him. You know what I mean? Like, there should be that a certain commensurate value to their skill as the Predator. You know, because the Predator pulls Sonny Landham's spine and brags about it.
Yeah.
But we don't
see the
fight, so we don't even know what the Predator did to deserve that gloating.
Yeah. What did he do to earn that? Or is he just like a human being, just reckless in his disregard for all living
skulls.
things?
I'm rich with soul.
Rich, I am rich.
Well, to be fair, I mean, these guys weren't the A team, so you're not going to get to that level, right? I'm just joking. I'm kidding.
Now, well, Mr. T would have been awesome in this movie.
That's right.
Oh boy, he would have done something to that predator.
All right, cinematography. Either of you talk over once ago. Donald McCulpin's cinematography. Dave? What did you think about the photography?
I thought it was great.
Yeah.
I don't know where they filmed it at.
Mexico.
Yeah.
Was it in Mexico?
South of the border.
It was. I mean, it looked like they were really there suffering in this jungle, and I liked it. I liked the shots, and I know you'll probably ask favorite shot, so I won't go into that. But this is kind of funny. I think the coolest shot for me was in the helicopter with the red light, right when they were flying in. Uh-huh. I just thought that was just kind of a cool shot. Yeah. And then Sonny Landon on the crossing the bridge when he looks back and he throws off his backpack.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Right. No, those shots are all very striking. And again, that goes back to the feeling a little cheated that we didn't get to see any fight.
You get to see a fight, but yeah.
Yeah. All right, Alex, what did you think about the cinematography?
Well, I liked it as well. And I think one of the things that I liked about it was it wasn't – a lot of 80s movies had that look. I don't know why, but I always think of John Landis – you look at his movies and they scream 80s. Yeah. And this movie didn't have that.
Yeah.
It didn't have the, you know, it really looked like David said, you really believed that they were where they were, that they're in this. And apparently it wasn't an easy shoot from what I understand. I mean, they all suffered. They all suffered with the elements.
Look, I can tell you from firsthand, I did a film with Crispin Glover called Simon Says, and we were out, when you're filming out there, and we were just in a national park or up in gold country, and just, it's just hard, you know, it's just hard film. So if you have a big budget film where you're out there all the time at night, and it's not as much fun as, you know, it's not like checking in a set where, you know, you just go into the set and put down your stuff. But when you're outdoors like that all the time, it's just, you're dirty all the time. I mean, it is work. It's like being a farm worker, Dave. It's just like, you're just out in the elements all day long, and it's tiring. So, yeah.
Well, here's the thing, too. I mean, I think one of the thing that I really noticed last night, and I feel like it's missing in a lot of movies today, because a lot of movies tend to make the action at night, and I always feel like that's a cheat, because you can barely see anything.
Yeah.
But in this, the climactic fight, I can still see detail. So it was lit well enough that I'm not being cheated out of this action.
But not preposterous to where it's just blue light and, if it looks
none
like
that,
how can they see? It's still, there's still a fine balance, which is I got a huge beef with. I don't mind if it's dark as long as you accentuate the right things, like a good cinematographer, like Roger Deakins in No Country for Old Men. Brilliant dark photography.
Yeah.
When Josh Brolin is facing Anton Juk, Chugar at the hotel. Yeah. So it's all done. Anyway.
But I mean, I feel like if you're going to have relentless action, don't cheat us out of it. I mean, you have to make some kind of concession, I feel. Well, and I don't know what it is. Like, you know, watching a lot of the CGI movies where the action takes place in the dark, we get those flashes of brilliance, but half the time I feel like I'm trying to figure out who's who and where's what.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was like watching Zero Dark Thirty.
Zero Dark
Thirty,
like,
you know,
for sure.
What is going on? You know,
yeah,
I get it, but come on.
No, that's
as
that's
an audience weak. Member, I didn't. Yeah, that, and to me that felt like a cheat. Yeah,
I can't tell what's happening. I give up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, but it was dark. It's like,
you are there, Gino. Yeah. You are there in a closet, hidden in a closet, not seeing anything.
Yeah, right. There's suspension of disbelief.
Did Obama get killed? Oh, did Osama bin Laden get killed? We got him.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
good.
All we know. We never see. It's like, and then, but I love how they use the dark to its advantage. So when we think that Bill Duke has the alien, you know, and the scene of the hand coming down with the knife and the blood, you know, and then they finally reveal the pig. I mean, it's like it worked there, you know. Yeah. I mean, I think
that's a funny punchline.
It is a funny. It is. It is.
Yeah. Yeah. I think my favorite shot is just the first reveal of the Predator, and I think Robert Greenberg will lead us in special effects. I think the special effects are very good, and still hold up really well because they are so minimalist.
Yeah.
But the sort of lush green and the Predator effect is really, it's really unique, and I think that Predator invisible effect is really cool, and it's very simple. It's a simple animation. And it's Robert Greenberg who did the effects, and he was mainly a titles guy. He did a lot of opening titles for movies, Robert Greenberg and Associates. But this time he did visual effects. He did guy was great at titles, and so it just, you know, like he did the Superman the movie titles and all that. And so he just understood what makes the effects look good. And I think the cinematography has that sort of lush jungle green throughout. And yeah. It has a really good, the film really just stands out as a memorable movie because of that, I think. So I'm going to go with that. What do you guys think? How effective was the sound? I think the Predator sound design is really cool.
Yeah.
You know, did you notice?
Oh, you're talking of the Predator himself.
Yeah. Don't you think that sort of rattlesnake, it's like a rattlesnake, hissing snake, and clicking it all at the same time? I think it's really like it's iconic.
You can buy that as a ringtone.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, yes, it does. It really put its stamp on film.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of those, you hear that sound, you know exactly what it is.
It's a genius little film for sound design. Anyway, yeah. Dave, all right, now it's Alan Silvestri's music.
Yeah, I thought it was great. It kind of reminded me of, and like Indiana Jones soundtrack themes, like the music in the background. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what when I was watching it this morning again, I was like, man, this kind of reminds me, similar to that same kind of sound. I don't know.
Well, it's Alan Silvestri who's big hit at that point. Well, he had done Romancing the Stone, so
yeah,
and then he did Back to the Future, and. When he burst on the scene with Back to the Future and then Predator, I think he was great. He did Back to the Future, Predator, and The Abyss, and Roger Rabbit all back to back. All of them really good.
Oh, wow.
Really good scores, like really decent, memorable scores. And then he went into the 90s and just disappeared because now he does The Avengers and he's sort of popular again. But in the 90s, I remember he did Eraser with Schwarzenegger.
Oh.
And that was just generic, wall-to-wall crap. He did a lot of boring scores.
I think what I liked about the music was the way it serves the action, the way it serves the story. And his use of those percussive elements, especially in the quieter moments when the tension's building.
I'm going to talk about something I never talk about, which is end credits. I have a personal I have a personal preference. I like when they show the actors' faces as to who played who. And they don't do it enough. And, you know, Red Dawn had, showed a hoop who does what part. I like that. And that Predator does that. And I wish more movies did it.
Boy, it's almost like a curtain call.
Yeah.
Where the stars are coming out.
Yeah.
And some of the shots were either outtakes or, you know, look into the camera, like with Bill Duke, you know, and do something for you, you know, that's attributed to your character and also, you know, take a bow.
Why do you think they used only a stock shot from the movie of Schwarzenegger?
Because he's Schwarzenegger. He can do whatever.
I don't smile at the camera.
I don't smile at the camera. I don't want to break the facade.
Everybody else smiles at the camera and then they just use the stock of Schwarzenegger.
You think at least
he'd be like,
chomping the cigar. Why not the cigar?
Maybe they just were afraid to ask him. I'm sure that's what it was.
Who knows? Yeah. Well, he just got married, I guess. Remember, he was also in the process of planning his marriage. So
maybe he wasn't available. No, I like it. I like how they all break character and all
he
that.
He was out screwing the maid. I don't know.
Right. Something we should talk about is just how effective is the Predator? I think he still looks really good.
He does.
A
couple of floppy feet. There's a couple of little weak little fingers pushing some buttons, you know, he's in a big costume.
But credit to Kevin Peter Hall
for my taste. But the creature effects in themselves are really good.
Yeah, the mandibles. I mean, that was something we didn't expect. Yeah. And of course, the great line from Arnold, I won't repeat it, but you're one ugly.
Yeah. Is that actor, is he pretty tall?
7'2".
Yeah.
Oh, he is. So he's
no longer with us, unfortunately. And Kevin Peter Hall.
He was huge. Yeah. Tall.
And that's why, well, it's funny you bring that up because the original, I guess the original choice for the Predator, they were looking at Jean-Claude Van Damme because of his athleticism.
Not even looking. He was there.
He was there. But Jean-Claude Van Damme is, apparently he's only about 5'10".
And not only that, he just was an ass and he wouldn't wear the costume. He didn't want to wear the costume and he was just like, you know.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
He was thinking he was the star of the show.
Creative differences.
Can you imagine Jean-Claude Van Damme had a huge ego? I can't believe it.
This is before he was really Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I know, but even then he was like, look at this guy. So they just kicked him. Why don't you take a flight? Off. Take a weekend off. Go back to L.A. Don't come back.
Don't come back.
What? No return ticket? That's weird.
Well, that's weird. Oh, that's Hollywood for you. No, but, you know, and you've got 6'5" Jesse Ventura. 6'2", you know, so get 7'2" Kevin Peter Hall.
Yeah, I mean, he was enormous.
Yeah. Oh, he was.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
No, so, but apparently he suffered under that suit and they had to use, I guess, bungees to help him move. Because that thing was like 200 pounds.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Wow. Yeah, so to make him look like he could bounce through the trees. So you don't really see a whole lot with him, you know, probably because of the limitations of that suit, but it's still a great looking, I mean, it is a formidable looking.
It's good design.
And it
borrows a little bit from Alien, but not so much to where it's ridiculous. Like most, you know, that, what's that movie, Dave, you know it, I'm sure, A Quiet Place.
It's just like,
I'm so sick. Or the other one, the Tom Cruise, Edge of Tomorrow, which isn't the worst movie.
Yeah.
The one thing that bugged me is just the aliens look like all the aliens. You know, nobody can think of, like,
at
this point, I would go for spiked bowling balls versus something that looks like H.R. Geiger's alien design. You know, and they're all a riff on H.R. Geiger. And it's like, enough. This is what I mean about Hollywood. They just, like,
you can't
think of anything but H.R. Geiger. You're made such an influence on you that you're just not going to design anything different. And that's just tedious. So I will say that given that Stan Winston worked on Aliens and he worked on that suit for Predator, he did good in that it doesn't look exactly like the alien, you know? It's its own unique look.
And apparently James Cameron was the inspiration for the mandibles. I didn't know that. It said something about, I want to see mandibles.
Oh, that's
I want
right.
to see yeah, something different. Yeah, maybe right. that was, you know, another, you know, a great wrinkle that set it apart.
Yeah. Well, they had a really stupid design when Jean-Claude Van Damme was going to be in it, and it didn't work. So they had to—they actually had to stop and rethink it all.
Well, it was a good thing. Well, that Jean-Claude
it was a
Van
smart
Damme
move.
Yeah, it's very smart.
But it was more slithery and more sort of stock lizard creature, and they went, let's do something a little more interesting than that. So, they went back to the. Went back to the drawing board and rethought it, and then they recast it.
Yeah, smart.
So, yeah. All right. Well, I think we're out of time. Would you watch this film again, Alex Robertson?
Yes, I would.
Yeah. Proudly.
I would own it. Proudly, I would.
Do you own a copy of it?
I will.
You will.
I'm surprised I don't have it in my collection.
I
like you nerd.
I love the Predator. It's the only one I own, though. I don't have any of the others.
Well, that's a smart. No, see, I don't think I would either. And again, it's like, I think it's a testament to the greatness of this movie that all of the sequels or reboots that have come out just can't match it. And again, a big part of it is probably, well, you don't have Arnold.
There's that. And it's a little bit like the Speed syndrome. As in Speed with Sandra Bullock and Keanu, it's a ripoff that shouldn't have been good. That's the thing. That's my premise earlier about it's a B movie that shouldn't have been good. There's no more story to tell.
No,
there's absolutely no. Exactly. You watch Predator 2 and you go, it's okay, I guess.
You set it in L.A., I guess. But
I mean, to Predator 2's for to the good thing about Predator 2, it is so different. you know, it is a different movie with a different cast. I mean, same sort of basic stuff, of course. But
well, I remember, what is it? They add the wrinkle when it goes to attack Maria Conchita Alonso, and it stops because it discovers that she's pregnant.
Right.
You know,
right,
so that was, you know, I that's one thing I remember. That's all I really.
I just remember Danny Glover winning and getting the gun at the end. I remember that was kind of cool.
Remember Gary Busey getting sliced in half.
I mean, it added some lore to the myth of Predator. It's okay, but and it's different. But I mean, what I'm saying is, it's still like, okay, this story, you can't keep telling it because there's nothing
you've
to tell.
It. You've already told it.
And it's why they're in a wall with Alien. And it's like, they just keep saying this, you know, James Cameron struck gold with Aliens because he basically retold the story better than Ridley Scott did, I think, because he had the sort of camaraderie and he had a stronger theme of how to deal with the alien. But... yeah, there's not much. They keep doing Alien movies. It's like, there's nothing, you know, by the time Ridley Scott did Alien Covenant, like, enough. Stop. There's nothing more to tell with this
movie.
There's
nothing more to tell, but that's the problem, though.
Yeah. You know, Dave, how about Predator? You going to watch it again?
Yeah, I think I own a copy.
Oh, right on.
I'm the only one in the group here. I better get on the
ball.
And
I think that, like, honestly, you know, younger generations with raised on CGI, I don't know, but I think this movie stands the test of time. If it was released today, I'd go to the theater and see it, you know, and it'd be great in a big theater.
Well, it's funny that, you know, The Predator, the most recent one, has CG and it still doesn't, it's not as effective, you know what I mean? Like, it has a lot of CG in it, and it, so what? It's not that well done, you know, and it's directed by Shane Black, who was the guy with glasses in Predator.
Yeah, interesting. You know,
he couldn't top it. He just couldn't. He didn't top it at all. He sort of convoluted it and made it less interesting.
What did he think he had the formula?
I don't know. I would think that because I was in it, I know. No, I doubt
I
he. Know. I don't know anything about the guy, but you know, I somehow doubt he went thinking that. I think he overthought trying to be different.
Maybe.
You know?
And he didn't have Arnold either.
No, that's true.
No, he didn't. But he was kind of riding high at that point.
You would think Arnold, with all the rehashes and Terminator movies he's done, you'd think he would go back to Predator at least once more and just finish it. Because his character's out there. We don't know what happened to him. There's no resolution for his character.
Is he living in a cabin somewhere in Alaska? I checked out right.
Once you've been face to face with a Predator, you would automatically check out.
And now that he's getting older, it's like I dreaded this day. I knew it would come.
Yeah. You know, he made Expendables 3. You think, hey, why don't you do another Predator movie?
Exactly. Which it's funny because I could see, you know, I believe that line is used at least once or twice, or at least twice in the movie. We are not expendable. You know, but this is a great movie. I mean, this really is a good buddy movie. It is, because the buddies you really believe are buddies.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like these guys have been through it together.
Right.
You know, even Bill Duke trying to deal with the death of Jesse Ventura. We've been through the worst of the worst. And it's, you know, no soldier. But that idea, you know, which I couldn't fathom because I've never been in the military, but I think because you have guys in this movie that were in the military, they brought something to the table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there is that. There really is something we just don't understand. And what the other thing I got was, like, these guys are never more alive than when they're doing what they do well.
Yeah.
You know, and you can just imagine what happens between jobs, you know, when they're going crazy, when they're in some bar in, you know, Portugal, Manila, you know, getting into fights because they're just, you know, it's like Martin Sheen at the beginning of Apocalypse Now. You just sit in your room in Saigon and drink yourself stupid waiting for the next mission. But I got a sense of that, you know.
That's a lot like, by the way, that's a lot like me.
I guess what? What, between pie?
Between milkshakes.
With me, it's peanut M&Ms. Oh, I can't wait for that next
one. What am I doing in Concord?
We can always move to Provo.
Yeah. Yes, you're always welcome.
Cost of living, I hear, is great in Utah.
Yeah,
and it's open carry.
That's right.
Right,
everybody's packing heat in Utah.
All right. Well, gentlemen, thank you. And we'll, again, what do I say? I don't know. I got nothing to say.
It was a fun, you know.
Do a Schwarzenegger.
Alex is better at it. I don't do a good Arnie. Go, Alex.
I'll be back.
Oh, hold on. Okay.
What's the matter, Dylan? The CIA got you pushing too many pencils?
Love that line.
Yeah.
And on that note, get to the chopper.
That sounds good. All right, gents, thanks. Hey, everybody, thank you for listening. Follow me on Spotify or Apple iTunes if you so desire. And tune in next time. There's a fabulous film to review.
Thank you for listening to Fabulous Film and Friends. Copyright 2021, a Bel Air Films production.